Concomitant treatment's pretty straightforward. This is where there's something else that's explaining the improvement. Now, there's a famous study here. You can look it up if you want. But this is a study which helped get bone morphogenic protein, or BMP, as it's called, onto the market. This study was the reason why the FDA in the US approved BMP, and then the company went on to sell it for approximately $4,000 per vial. This stuff is meant to make bones heal. It's meant to produce bone. Now, if you inject this stuff into a rat, it'll produce bone. But that doesn't mean it makes bones heal. I'm actually not a big fan of a lot of lab research. And I know that, lab research is important. It can tell us a lot of things, but it doesn't tell us what happens in real life. Now, this study, they said, we're going to try it in real people. And they took people who didn't, who had a broken tibia, a broken leg bone, and it hadn't healed. And they said, okay, what we're going to do with them, we're going to give half of them BMP, see what happens to them. So here's all the patients. Half of them are going to get BMP. Half of them are going to get a traditional bone graft, where we take some bone from the pelvis and stick it in the tibia and see if it heals. And what happened was 84% of them healed, 75% of them healed. They said that these are roughly the same, and therefore BMP gets the tick, and it got put on the market, and the company made billions of dollars of it. However, what happened, they didn't realize, every one of these patients who had a tibia that hadn't healed also had a procedure called tibial nailing, where they had the bone was reamed out and had a rod put in. Now, we know that that procedure on its own, tibial nailing, has around about an 80% success rate. So it means that if they had not had the bone graft, and if they had not had the BMP, they still would have got around 75 to 84% success rate. So to me, this tells me that these two treatments are equally ineffective, not equally effective. So that's what concomitant treatment is. And in many of these surgical procedures, get treated with other things afterwards, like physical therapy. Now, this is the attitude of doctors. This is the attitude of physicians. It's the attitude of surgeons these days. This is a very common thing. I've touched on this, but this is really putting it in words. The physician must deal with a specific individual, the patient in front of them. And physicians are not prepared to discard therapies validated by both tradition and their own observations on account of someone else's numbers. In other words, someone else's scientific experiment. And so we see this all the time. Someone does a scientific experiment showing that a procedure doesn't work, and the surgeons merely say, but I was taught this and I have seen people get better, so therefore I don't believe you. And this slide was put in here deliberately because this is a quote. This is showing you that nothing is new. This quote is from a journal called the American Journal of Medical Sciences, and this was published in 1836. This was published in response to a scientific article that showed that bloodletting, bleeding people, for pneumonia was not effective. They said, that's rubbish. We know it's effective because we've been using leeches to bleed people for pneumonia for 2,000 years, and a lot of them got better. And this just shows you, I mean, you can have a procedure that lasts for thousands of years that's completely ineffective, and yet doctors believed it to be effective. And this lasted right up until the 20th century, believe it or not. People were still bleeding people for things. And you can find textbooks from the 1920s that still have bleeding a pint of blood to treat people in shock, for example, which is like the opposite of what you should do. So this ain't new. Again, showing the resistance to experimental evidence. This is a quote from a surgeon who was one of the founders and inventors of a surgical procedure in the chest to treat emphysema. And what they did is they actually took out some of the lung. Now, I have no idea on what basis this was performed, but this is called lung volume reduction surgery. They just basically reduced the volume of the lung. How this helped people with emphysema, I have no idea. But they did this procedure, and it was widely done in the US in particular. And people said, no, we need to do a trial. We need to do this big study called the NET trial, where we need to compare doing this surgery to not doing this surgery, to doing medical treatment instead, usual treatment of emphysema. And so this guy wrote an editorial saying the call for a randomized control trial or an RCT is akin to a parachute experiment. You know, we know this works. You don't need to do a randomized control trial of parachutes. It's inappropriate because this operation is so effective. People basically just get better immediately afterwards. Now, of course, what happened is they did do the study and they published it some years later. And it was a very well-conducted and famous study. And it showed that surgery was no more effective than not doing the surgery. But the vehemence with which the surgeons believed that the procedure worked was amazing. And even after the study came out, they challenged this and they said, you know, we don't believe this study. And they looked at it and they found a group of patients that actually did pretty well with surgery. And they looked at the lung function of patients like a year or so afterwards. And they found that in the group that had surgery, the lung function was a little bit better than in the group that hadn't had surgery. Now, it turns out that the reason for this was that the people in the surgical group who had worse lung function died as a result of the procedure. So you were more likely to die early if you had the surgery. And because all the severe cases died, the ones that were left alive had on average better lung function than the other group. So this again was a false finding. And again, this was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. You can look it up.